I want to preach to you. Been preaching through this week, this month on the cross. I'll continue that thought this morning. I want you to look in your Bible in Matthew chapter number 16, and I call your attention to verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. What a blessing. It says that Jesus, at this particular point in his ministry, began to explain to the disciples in detail what was going to happen and what was going to take place at the close of his ministry. Look over in chapter 17 and look at verse 22, if you will, please. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. Thank God for that. I want us to pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, now that God, you'd get honor and glory. Thank you for the great singing of the choir, Chuck, the congregational singing this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. And I thank you, our Father, this morning for all you've done. We give you all the praise and glory. This morning, our Father, bow before you and confess that there's no good thing in us. And apart from the grace of God and the mercy of God, nothing of eternal consequence to take place here. I pray, God, you remove far from me and from my mind, from my heart, anything that would hinder the work of the Holy Ghost this morning. I pray, God, for your anointing power. Fill me with the power of God, the presence of God, and use me for your glory. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before I start the message, I do want to remind you of something that I forgot to announce. I want to be sure to announce it. Not only do I want you to be in the drama, but tonight, Brother Brad starts revival at Burnell Baptist Church. Start at 6 o'clock tonight, Brad. They start at 6 over there. You pray for him, and if you're here and you need to be here, but if you've already been here and you want to go over there, whatever, that's good. But Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday night, and he'll be there. So you pray for him. If you get to go over one night, 7 o'clock, I know it'd be a blessing to you, blessing to him. Pray for him. Lift his hands up if you can't get to go. Pray for him going as well. Him, this passage of Scripture, our Lord says, the Bible said, from that time he began to show his disciples what was going to happen. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on Jesus on the cross. Not literally on the cross. He would be on the cross, but this is what Jesus had to say about the cross. As I begin to go through the Bible and begin to look at the times that he talked about his impending death, I decided I didn't have time to deal with all of them this morning. But I want to share a few of you with this morning on Jesus on the cross, what he had to say about the cross. And if you look at the Word of God, you understand this, that the cross was planned in eternity past. It wasn't something, God didn't have to change plans. He didn't have to have a big get-together meeting with God the Father, God the Son, and try to figure out what they were going to do. It is an eternal, sovereign plan of God. Calvary was in the mind and heart of God. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was planned before you ever got here. It was planned before he ever formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. It was planned that he would suffer, bleed, and die for the sins of man. I was praying this morning early and thinking about it. Peter said he laid all of our sins on him. But my dear friend, you think about the suffering of our Lord in times past. I don't know if you've ever had an experience. Some of these guys who are carpenters, good carpenters, and some of them who are bad carpenters have hit their thumb before trying to drive a nail. I mean, hit it. I mean, when you were growing up as a kid, you may have had an experience. I've told you before about one time, me and Jimmy Wheeler on a bicycle. We didn't have a coaster on it, didn't have a brake on it. It was, you go down the hill, and when you stop, when you hit something. And we was on this old bicycle, had no fenders on it, just an old frame and bicycle. I was standing up pedaling, Jimmy sitting on the seat behind me. We were riding down a red clay hill about 100 miles an hour. I mean, for a boy, it seemed like I was going 100 miles an hour. I don't know what happened. Honeysuckle vine, something other we ran, it got something that spoke. It locked that bicycle up, threw me and him off. He rode me halfway down that hill. Just about killed me. I got a scar right there. I listen, when I think about that, Boy, I can feel it right now. I can feel me going down that hill. I can feel my head throbbing. I can feel the blood. I think about it. Have you ever had an experience like that? A severe pain made you sick and the stomach almost hurt so bad. And if you begin to tell me about it right now, it'd be so vivid and real. You'd even begin to have those sensations again almost. You can almost feel that sickness in the pit of your stomach and the pain that you felt and how intense it was. But listen to me. On that cross, he bore all of our sins in his own body on the tree. He bore all the weight of all the sin of all the world, all the shame, every bit of it. Prior to his going to the cross, they beat him. They spit in his face. They pulled out his beard. He was in a physical body. He experienced all of that pain. He said, at the time of prayer, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. As he prayed, great sweat drops of blood broke from his brow. But did you know that from the very foundation of the world, he knew what he'd suffer? He knew the scourging. He knew the cat of nine tails. He knew the thorns that would pierce his brow. And if you can remember pain you've had in the past, he, being a sovereign God, knowing everything, knew what pain he'd suffer in the future. And not only did he suffer on the day of Calvary, but he suffered every minute of every hour of every day of every year until Calvary came. He bore it, not just that day, but from eternity past, he was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. When Adam sinned, he already knew, and he felt the weight of that sin. When Moses sinned, he already knew, and he felt the weight of that sin. When David sinned, he already knew, and he felt the weight of that sin. All the sin of all the Old Testament saints, all the sin of the New Testament saints, and all of my sin and your sin, he cared and knew and felt that agony in eternity past, until he died on that cross. That was a culmination. But my friend, listen, look at a few scriptures with me this morning. He says in this passage of scripture that he began at that time to show, and so there's certainly more. Turn over to chapter 20 in the book of Matthew, and listen, it was prophesied or planned in eternity past. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, but it was presented and previewed to his disciples before he ever died. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Nothing happened that surprised him. He knew when Judas would walk up to him. He knew who they were. He knew the guard that held him. He knew the guard that drove the nail in his hand. He knew him. He knew how many times they'd hit it. He knew every bit of it before it ever happened. He knew the intense pain of the scourge on his back. He already knew it, and he's previewing it for his disciples. Look in chapter number 20, and look with me, please, if you will, in this passage of Scripture, verse number 18. Lord, help us today. Verse 17, Jesus, going up in Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, he's going to preview it now. Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. He knew the proceed. He knew every person that said, give us Barabbas. He knew them when they were born. He knew them, every one of them. He knew their names, knew all their sin. And he knew them. He knew those who would betray him, knew Judas would betray him. He knew those disciples who would forsake him. He knew those who would cry out, crucify him, crucify him. He knew every one of them. He knew all about it. And he said, and he'll be condemned. I'll be condemned to death. Verse 19, and shall deliver him into the Gentiles to be mocked and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day, he'll rise again. Thank God. He not only knew he was going to suffer and bleed and die, but he knew that he's coming out of that grave, praise God. Oh, my friend, listen, thank God for that. Oh, he knew that. Look over at verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He knew why he's dying. He knew he's dying to pay sin's debt, to give his life a ransom. Turn over to Mark, if you will. Mark chapter 9. The book of Mark chapter 9 and verse 31. Listen to this passage of scripture in Mark 9 verse 31. And he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Now look, I underline that word delivered into the hands of men. Ultimately, do you know who delivered him into the hands of men? It was not Judas. It was not the Jewish nation. It was God the Father. God the Father delivered his Son into the hands of men. He said, here he is. Take him as a sacrifice. Do all you want to do to him. And I'll tell you something. On the third day, he's coming out of that grave. Thank God. Listen, he's previewing it. He already knew it. He knew what was going to happen. He knew he'd be betrayed. He knew he'd be condemned. He knew he'd be scourged. He knew every bit of it. Knew all about it. Thank God for that. He instituted the Lord's Supper, and he took that bread, and he said, he broke that bread. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. That cup, that's the blood that's shed for you. He knew all about it. He knew all about it. But go with me, please, to the Gospel of John. Most familiar passage of scripture in all the Bible in the Gospel of John. And in John, I call your attention to, certainly to chapter 3. How could we go without getting this one? In John chapter 3, he previews for one man. He's there at night, and there's one man who's come to him in the middle of the night. His name is Nicodemus. And he's going to preview for him Calvary. Watch what he says to Nicodemus. He's already told him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, how can a man be born when he's old? So on, so on. Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb? But now look, he begins at verse number 13. And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now that'd blow your mind, wouldn't it? Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He came into this world. And he said he came down from heaven, but he's in heaven. Jesus was standing in front of Nicodemus, and he said, but I'm also in heaven. How can he do that? God's omnipresent. God's omnipresent. He was clothed in that human body. He's more. You said, Brother Bill, I can't understand that. It's hard to comprehend a holy God. He's a whole lot bigger than you are, a whole lot bigger than I am. But he said, I'm standing right here, but I said, I'm also in heaven. But now watch, preview of Calvary. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He previews Calvary for Nicodemus. And he said, Nicodemus, you're a Jew. You remember the story. There were fiery serpents that came because of the sin of the people and bit the people, and they were dying everywhere. They cried out for deliverance from that, from the consequence of their sin. They wanted deliverance from that sin, from the death, from the penalty of that sin. They wanted deliverance. God said, Moses, won't you take and you make a serpent out of brass and put it on a pole, lift it high. I always thought it was on something like Moses' staff, but I got to thinking about it. 3.5 million Jews, they couldn't see it. It is on a telephone pole. I mean, it was up there. It was where anybody could see it. And nobody had to crawl to it. They didn't have to run to it. They had to look. He said, if you'll look, you can live. And that serpent made out of brass. Brass speaks of judgment. It was bright and shiny, like the offering plates that just went by here. That bright, shiny brass. And listen, when he put that up on that pole, they could see it in the daytime. It glistened in the sun. They could see it at night because there was a pillar of fire. And at night, it thing would glisten. They could see it from miles and miles away. In the darkest night, they could probably see it clearer than they could in the daytime. In the dark night of your soul, he's the only one that you can see. He's that bright light. He's the hope of your salvation. He's the only one who can forgive your sin. And he previews Calvary. And he said, I'm going to be like a serpent. Be like a serpent, shaping us like the... Why a serpent? Because it was a symbol of sin. And he bore our sin. And the Bible said this, he was made sin for us. He previews Calvary for Nicodemus. Jesus Christ on Calvary. What he had to say about it. He said, I'm going to be like that serpent raised up in Moses' day. Look over to chapter 10, if you will, please. One of my favorite passages of scripture in all the Bible, companion to Psalms 23, where he describes himself as the great shepherd. And he says in John chapter 10, look at verse number 11. And he says this, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's previewing Calvary now. He said, I'm going to give my life for the sheep. Look a little further in this passage of scripture, if you will, please look at verse 15. The Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Look at verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. My friend, listen. What about his death? Christ on the cross. What does Christ say about the cross? Number one, he says it's going to be a voluntary death. No man takes my life from me. They didn't have enough soldiers in Rome to bind him. He said, I could call one legion of angels, 12,000 angels, and they'd annihilate this. He could speak the word. He could rain down fire like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah. He could have melted the whole crowd, incinerated them just like that. He could open the windows of heaven, open the fountains of the deep like he did in Noah's day, drown the whole outfit if he wanted to. No way they could arrest him. No way they could capture him. No way they could bind him. No man takes my life. It's a voluntary death. He came voluntarily. He said, I lay down my life. God so loved the world that he gave, offered his son as a sacrifice. But Christ said, no man forced me to go to that cross. I lay down my life. Depicted in the play is, I think, accurately what happened. I do believe they took Jesus and laid him on the cross. But if he hadn't done that, he'd have walked over and laid on it himself. Because that's why it came. He'd have went over and laid down right by himself. And he struck his hands out. And he said, nail me. Nail me to the cross. Because it's a voluntary death. You say, Brother Billy, why would he do that? Same reason. He loved you. God commended his love toward us. Jesus Christ showed him his love for us. He loved us. He died for us. Thank God for that. Not only do we learn from Christ's comments about the cross that it was a voluntary death, but I learned from the words of Christ that it was going to be a violent death. A violent death. He said, they're going to take me and they're going to mock me. They're going to scourge me. He'd already told them that. Matter of fact, there's more detail to it. I told you couldn't deal with all the scriptures. Let me just give you this. You write it down and look it up. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 14, they react, the scribes and Pharisees, to something Jesus said. And it said, from that time, they plotted to destroy him. There are people who want to dump Trump, but they wanted to destroy Jesus. You know what that means? It means to dismantle. It means to take apart piece by piece. Not an easy death. When you think of something being destroyed, it's an awful picture. A violent explosion, a ravaging tornado, something that destroys. My dear friend, they wanted his death not to be pleasant, and it wasn't. It was a violent death. They beat him, spit upon him, smote him with their fists, pulled the beard from his face. The depiction in the play is awesome. I mean, the first year we did that, I tell you, it was something to see. And I knew that was my son. And I knew that that wasn't real blood. But I couldn't help but think about the real. That it was real blood. And it was real pain. He had all the sinless infirmities of the flesh that we have. Jesus got hungry. Jesus got thirsty. Jesus could weep. And Jesus could feel pain just like you do. Just because he was God incarnate in human flesh, he does not mean that the nails did not hurt. The lashings were horrific. The pain was real. Immense suffering, because he was suffering for us and paying the sin debt on our sin. His death was a violent death. His death, my dear friend, was a vile death. What do you mean? He said he would be delivered into the hands of wicked men. The circumstances were wicked. All of that. But the great vileness of Calvary was when Jesus prayed in the garden and he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." You say, "Brother Billy, was he asking God not to let him suffer?" He already knew that. I think the most repulsive thing about the whole ordeal of Calvary for our Savior was this. He's perfect. He is the Holy One. The angel told Joseph, Mary, this holy thing conceived in you. He's holy. He never felt sin. Never sinned. Never thought of a sin. And yet, God dumped all of the sin of all the ages on him. I think that was the most repulsive part of it for him. That he experienced all the shame of our sin, all the guilt of our sin, all the filth of our sin in that moment at Calvary. It was a vile death. He bore all our sins in his own body on the tree. It was a voluntary death. He did it of his own free will. He said, "I have power to lay it down, I have power to raise it again." It was a violent death. They sought to destroy him. And by the way, when you come to the Gospel of John in chapter 2, you know what he says to him? He said, "Destroy this temple." He already knew what they was planning. He said, "You destroy the temple." They thought he's talking about the building, but he's talking about his body. "Destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again in 3 days." Oh, it was a violent death he suffered. Horrific. All of that suffering was for me and you. That thirst was for me and you. That alienation from God, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That was for us. Because it was not only a voluntary death and a vile death and a violent death, but it was a vicarious death. It means he was dying for somebody else. You know who he died for? You and me. He died our death. And he knew before he ever did it who he's dying for. He knew why he was dying. He knows every sin you've ever committed, every sin you've ever committed by omission, things you should have done that you didn't do. He knows every wicked thought you've ever had, every wicked deed you've ever done, every sin of all your whole life. He knows every one of them. And yet he died for you. That woman at the well ran into town and she told those men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." He knew her. He knew her. Knew all about her. You say, why? Because he had been aware of her sin before the foundation of the world. And when he died on Calvary, he died for her. And he died for you. It was a vicarious death. But can I tell you, when I think about Christ on the cross, what he said about the cross, he was always, as he depicted it, as he built up to it, the closer he got to it, the disciples' heart got heavy, and they couldn't believe it was going to happen. But he always emphasized this last phrase, "And the third day, I'll rise again. I'll rise again." Hey, they were so close to it, they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. And when they put him on that cross, they scattered like a covey of quail. But my dear friend, listen, after his resurrection, the Bible said they remembered everything he told them. Thank God. I want to tell you, not only was it a voluntary death and a vile death and a violent death, a vicarious death, but it was a victorious death. Thank God he paid sin's debt for me and you. He paid it for every person who's ever lived. And my dear friend, you can know it today. You can know your sins are forgiven by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to be saved other than to go by the way of the cross. He died for you. He paid that sin debt for you. And thank God, listen, the Bible said the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washes away all of our sin, every bit of it. It's all gone. Immediately, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, washes us white as snow. What can wash me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not one thing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God it can. And thank God it has this week. People to experience have been born again by the grace of God and they know what salvation is. You can know it today. You can know it today. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed? Christ on the cross, Christ telling about the cross, predicting the cross, previewing the cross for us and for his disciples. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And yet he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, to go to Calvary, to give his life a ransom. No man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Oh, listen, that wonderful victory that was wrought when Jesus Christ died. He said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. And he did it by his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He took the sting out of death for every believer. The Bible said, oh, grave, where is thy sting? There's no sting to death now, no sting to the grave. Because, oh, grave, where is thy victory? There's no victory there. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord has given us the victory. For those of us who are saved, absent from the body, is going to be present with the Lord. There's no fear of death when we come down to that point in time because he'll walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Calvary. Because of Calvary. Because of Calvary. Because of Calvary, we can live forever. And we ought not ever get used to it. We ought not ever get to where somebody's got to beg us to praise him. We ought not ever get to where somebody's got to beg us to go to church. We ought not ever get to where somebody's got to beg us to serve him. He loved us and died for us. Thank God because of what he did. Our sins are gone and heaven is our home. I wonder this morning if you're here in the building or in the radio audience or the internet audience, would you be willing right now to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? He did every bit of that to save you. He's not willing that any should perish. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You shall be saved, can be saved. Because he died for you, but you must receive him. And I wonder in this building if there's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl who'd say to me, Brother Billy, I'm not saved. I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I want to know for sure. And will you pray for me, preacher? Would you stick your hand up where I can see him in the building? Raise it right up, right back down. I'd love to pray for you this morning. Visitor, guest, somebody been here a long time, but you don't know for sure you're saved. For our friends in the radio audience and the internet audience right now, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, and here in the building as well, will you call on him? Will you call on him? He knows you. You don't have to have anybody to introduce you to him. He knows you, knows all about you. He bore your sin on the cross. He died for you. And he offers to you now a free gift. And will you call on him? Just speak to him as you'd speak to anybody. And say, oh, Lord God, I'm a sinner. I want you to save me. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Come in my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. I believe that you died for me, were buried, rose again. I accept you now as my Savior. My dear friend, if you'll do that, mean it from your heart, there's something to take place in your life. It'll make a difference if you'll trust Christ.